All right, God, we just want to ask for your help. God, we need you. Would you give us strength and wisdom as we try to live life, as we try to follow you? And God, especially on the topic tonight, as we talk about sexuality, God, it is all over our culture, and we feel it in our bodies, and we know that you made us this way, but we struggle to be self-controlled and to guard our hearts and minds and bodies and honor you with them. So we ask for your help. Would you help us as teenagers in the room tonight, would you help us to honor you with our bodies, with our minds, with our hearts, and the way that we treat the opposite sex? God, we ask for your wisdom and strength. Would you bless our conversation and discussion later? In Jesus' name, amen. You guys, I wanted to start with a story, just kind of a little bit of my journey as a young boy and into middle school and high school. When I was in elementary school, sexuality wasn't really a thing. Like, it was like girls had cooties, you know, and I didn't really want to be with them, as, you know, like romantically at all. But more than that, they were friends, and it was just fun to hang sometimes. So playing tag on the playground, the girls had cooties, and we didn't want to be near them, and the guys would run away from them, you know. But over time, your body changes, right? Things start to change. Well, elementary school was kind of like that for me, and so I remember hanging out on my back porch, sharing a bag of animal crackers with a girl named Emily. Emily and I are just chilling on the back porch, eating graham crackers, talking, hanging. No romance at all. We're just friends. And the weird thing is, my family had a lot of friends and family in the neighborhood, but most of the kids in my neighborhood were girls. So the Cortells lived down the street. They had three girls. The O'Neills lived three or four houses down. They had three girls. And so I was just friends with girls because they were in my neighborhood. Or my parents went to church, and so their friends at church had kids, and the kids that my parents' friends had, were a lot of them were girls. Or the guy was like, you know, a couple years ahead of me, older, you know. So I just liked hanging, and they were my friends, you know. So Emily and I, we just hang. Had animal crackers, you know, it's cool. When I was about 9, my family moved to Sweden for a year. I don't know if you guys know, I lived in another country for a year. Went to school in Sweden, learned the language a little bit. But I wasn't ready for sexual temptation to show up in Sweden, right? So for me, I thought, you know, I was kind of innocent, you know, whatever, human body, whatever. You know, I was just a normal kid. In Sweden, they have something different that was really kind of blew me away a bit. They are known for topless beaches in Europe. And so we went to several beaches, not really knowing, being kind of ignorant Americans. And we're at the beach, and these girls have no tops on. And I'm 9. And at first I'm like, and then I'm like, like, right? So, like, you're just curious. Like, wow, that's... What is going on in this world? Is that legal? Like, it's different. And their view of sexuality in Europe is much different than in America. And the human body is much more celebrated and thrown out there and is not covered up as much. I'll just be straight, right? So that gets your mind going when you're 9 or 10 years old, right? So I come back, and in our elementary school, we had a thing called a spring fling. And so I remember asking a girl to go to the spring fling. And it was basically a carnival. There was like a different carnival game in each room of the school. Super innocent, right? But I actually asked this girl to go together to the spring fling. And then later, our school put on things like, well, it's going to date me a bit. Okay, I'm an old guy. We would go to the roller rink. Okay? Yeah. And so at the roller rink, they did a thing about halfway into your roller skating time, which was couples skate. Okay? And so then there got to be this weird thing. There's this line of guys up against the wall being like, we're all nervous. And the girls are like, are you going to ask me? And so there was this pressure, a lot of pressure, to ask a girl to couple skate. And when you couple skate, you hold hands. And you skate around the thing, right? So I finally got the courage or enough peer pressure, and I caved, and I asked this girl to couple skate, right? And so we hold hands, which was new and sweaty and gross and a little bit attractive. And they're playing slow dance music while we're going around the couple skate thing, right? All right, so temptation is showing up in different ways for me, right? So fast forward and I get to high school, and I have my first real girlfriend, okay? Well, once you're in a relationship, like, it's more tempting because you actually have someone to kiss or someone to hold a hand to or someone to do something more with, right? The temptation isn't there necessarily if you don't have someone like that or as strongly perhaps. So we're trying to figure out what does it look like to have a girlfriend for the first time and how do boundaries work and why do I even need them and what does God really want or care? Does it matter? And the culture is telling me one thing and and the church is telling me another thing. So I'm navigating that. I'm trying to figure that out. And so I go to church camp because of the girls, right? My motives were messy. I didn't go for Jesus, man. I went for zip lining and chicks. That's why I went to camp. But I came back with more. You know, God was working in my life and in my heart. But when I was about 16, I get something in the mail. I go to after school, I went and got the mail, opened up the mail. Playboy magazine had sent me a subscription notification thing to sign up for. And I'm like, my parents weren't home. It came in the mail. It's got my name on it. They're targeting 16-year-old kids, right? And I'm like, do I open it? Why did it come to me? How did they get my name? Like, all this is going through my head. And if you're not familiar with Playboy magazine, it's naked women, okay, it's in the magazine. And I'm like, tempted, taunted, right? In that moment, I threw it away. I'm like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this, right? But sexual temptation showing up in my life, whether I want it to or not, right? And then in high school, my buddies were into Sports Illustrated. And so they would get the swimsuit edition at the end of the year, whatever. Well, they decided it would be fun to cut out the swimsuit models and just hand them out to their friends. So my own friend group, okay, is taunting me, and I'm being tempted by this stuff. Like, why are you handing me this girl with not a lot of clothes on this bit? Like, what are you doing? And part of me is like, wow, that's attractive. And so it's in my face. It's there, right? And so Tina and I, we meet into high school. We go to prom together and then date in college. And having a more serious relationship, like, sexual temptation is even higher. So I don't know what your journey is like. And you're in the middle of it. You are. I know you are. But I don't know where your journey is and where it's heading. But for me, life was just happening to me, and I'm trying to roll with it and trying to figure that out, and I'm still trying to figure out, like, my faith, because I didn't recommit my life to Christ, like, really try hard to follow Jesus till I was about 14. So I'm trying to figure out, what do you do with all that? So I'm hoping that today could help us land in maybe a place where I didn't get a lot of information as a young man about how I could handle the pressures of sexuality in the world. So here it comes. Here's some truths about sexuality. You were created with sexual desires. That's the first fill-in. And there's three main points into that. You were created with sexual desires. You're like, no kidding. Duh, I know that. But here's the thing. Sex is God's design, okay? A lot of times the church gets, like, bashed over the head that they're, like, anti-everything affection, right? Check it out. God made it in the first place, okay? And he is for it. Okay, he designed it. He made it. He's for it. And he created it for a certain context. And that context is marriage. I don't think that's brand new to you. But it's not something the world's teaching you. The world's teaching you that sex is for anybody, anytime, anywhere, whenever you feel like it. And that's not true. God says, check this out. I designed it to be in a committed relationship, right? Not just a freelance thing. Not just an anybody thing, an anytime thing. A very special, important piece that God has for marriage. So there you go. Here's the second one. Your sexual desires are intended for a purpose. And you probably know, it's not going to be news to you, that some of the purposes up on the screen. So here's the first one that a lot of people miss, okay? God created sexual desires are intended for a purpose. The first purpose is oneness. Or you could say for intimacy and unity in marriage. You guys, I want you to get this. The world is not teaching this, that there is a spiritual part to sexuality. That when a man and a woman are together, it's spiritual as well as physical, and that God designed it for the man and the woman, the husband and wife, to become one, to be unified together, physically and spiritually, and as a couple. So there's some deep emotional connection, right? But it's in the context of a family relationship, right? They've already made commitments to one another so that they can experience this oneness. Okay, the world kind of skips over that. What you may be more familiar with is the last two, which are procreation and recreation. So procreation is to produce children. That's not new to you guys. You guys know the birds and the bees. I don't need to explain that, I don't think. Does sex have another purpose? Totally. If that doesn't happen, then the planet dies, right? If the population doesn't continue, all the people die out. So to continue on the human race, procreation. And then recreation for pleasure. And you guys, check this out. God's purposes are in all of those things. God made it fun and enjoyable on purpose, okay? He made it so that you could produce children on purpose, right? He made it also for oneness. I think the world doesn't teach that first one, though. Right? And most of the time, all the world cares about, all your friends usually care about, is for pleasure. Right? But that is not the only purpose, and it's not even the highest purpose. All right, here's what the Bible says in Genesis 2. It says, so a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one body. Another version says one flesh. This unity, this oneness that it's talking about. Okay, so we got our two main ideas there, right? You were created for sexual desires. Your sexual desires are intended for a purpose. Now we're going to jump into how do we win, okay? If that's the context for sexuality, how do we win against the temptations that we face? So I'm going to give you about 10 different things there, okay? Realizing that sexual temptation is close to everyone is the first one. All right, so in your life group time, the first icebreaker question is going to be like this. Tell a funny story of a commercial or a TV ad that you've seen that uses sex to promote its product, okay? And you guys, we could probably talk for like 20 minutes about all the different things that are, like, how many products are trying to sell themselves using our sexuality or appealing to that part of us, right? A lot? Yeah, a crazy amount, right? And I bet you could tell some funny stories, like, I can't believe they're, you know, I don't know, they're trying to sell Doritos with this girl, like, in a bikini and eating, oh, this is the best cheesy nacho I've ever had. And, like, why do we care that she's in a bikini? Are you with me? Like, you're going to be able to tell stories, right? So when I say realize sexual temptation is close to everyone, it is all over the place. And it's not just from the outside. It's also from the inside, right? Your body has its own natural cravings and desires and hormones, right? And so you're feeling it from the inside. You're getting all the input from the outside, from your eyes and ears and whatever. And then, man, here's the crazy thing, you guys. Check this out. I was at a university, and they were doing some statistics about sexuality in teenagers, right? And so they were telling us that the average age of puberty has changed in the United States, okay? It used to be like 12 and 13, and now it's more like 10 and 11, okay? So we have puberty is happening sooner, okay? I want you to get this, in America. And then the average age of marriage was becoming later. So 26, 27 was becoming the average age for marriage. So check this out. If puberty is starting sooner and marriage is happening later in the United States, okay, teenagers, you guys, are left in the middle when your bodies are coming into their desire for sexuality, and that's natural and good and right, but we have to have self-control. But now we have to control our bodies and wait for a much longer period of time. Does that make sense? So like in the Bible, they're getting married, you know, at like 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, right? Young, right? And in other countries, they're getting married much earlier, right? And for us, we're left in this funky, you have the most input that we've ever had, right? The most access to sexual content that we've ever had in the world, right? With all the media that we've got now. And now you're left in the middle with the longest period of time that teenagers are being asked by God to wait and to preserve their bodies and their sexuality for marriage. Gosh, what an uphill battle. That's hard. That's difficult. And I feel for you. And I want to help educate you and find tools so that you could have victory in this area of your life, because it's a longer journey than your moms and dads had to face, than even I had to face. And when Tony was sharing last time, did a great job talking about the temptations we face and how we can win over temptation. Him and I didn't have the internet when we were your age, okay? We didn't have a phone in our pocket. We didn't have access to all the information that you have so easily and so quickly. And I think he shared, gosh, like Tony, we would have been in trouble, man, right? Like, we feel for you guys. Here's what the Bible says. Somebody read Galatians 5.
So I tell you, live by following the Spirit. Then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other, so you cannot do just what you please.
Live by the Spirit. Yeah. You guys, check this out. I want to clarify something. Just because you have a sexual desire, your body is like, ooh, yeah. That's totally fine. Okay? And we can laugh about it and joke about it. Sure. You're made that way. What we're asked to do by God is to be self-controlled with those desires. And like a lot of other desires, like when you're angry, holding back, you know, your tongue or your fist. In this one, you know, honoring other people with your body and honoring God with it is not easy, right? But that desire isn't wrong. But what we do, how we act on it or don't act on it next is where we can get into some trouble. So let's go on to the next one. Point number two, establish your standards beforehand. Establish your standards beforehand. You guys, why do you think that's important? Why do you think it's important to set some standards or some boundaries before you're in a position to have to make a choice? Definitely, Turner, harder to make that choice when you're in the moment, right? If you're trying to resist the urge to eat chocolate cake, harder when you're in the bakery looking at it and smelling it than it was when you were sitting in your car out in the parking lot to decide that you weren't going to have any cake, right? So waiting till it's dark and you're tired and your girlfriend's looking really hot to decide not to kiss her or not to whatever is a really much difficult decision than to have talked to her ahead of time and agreed on some boundaries, right? That's totally different. And you're going to set yourself up for some success if you establish that ahead of time. And whether it's with that person or not, maybe it's just ones you make with God. God, here are my standards I'd like to keep. So here's what 1 Corinthians says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag or is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish. It does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. So you want to be a loving, patient, kind, respectful person, it would be good to set some standards for how you want to treat the opposite sex. All right, here's the next one. And a little picture of Tina and I at prom. How about that? I know, right? It's old. But she still looks good, though. That's awesome. You make your values known. You make your values known is the fill-in there. You guys, check this out. Tina and I had good youth group experiences that challenged us to set standards ahead of time, like this last one, right? And to make our values known. So we did this. We started dating. We had the awkward conversation. We just did. We put it out on the table. Said, hey, how far should we go or not go? Like, what's okay to touch and kiss and hold and what's not? Like, what are your standards? What are my standards? How awkward is that to have with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Super awkward. Except it totally worked, and it helped, and it clarified some things. And it was like, you know what? We grew deeper that day. I grew in respect for her. She grew in respect for me. And we decided, you know what? If the end goal is not to have sex before we're married, then we've got to back up and make some other goals, okay? Like, okay, I'm not going to touch her here. I'm only going to kiss her on the cheek, or I'm only going to hold her hand, or I'm only going to kiss her on the mouth later because I know that that's going to ramp up the relationship, okay? Or we're only going to be together with the lights on, or we're not going to be home alone, or you guys get the idea? You start setting some standards and values, and I tell her, look, my relationship with God is more important than you. What? Yeah. It's a priority thing. So that now Tina knows that I love God and I want to love God first. That's not real popular. The girl wants to be loved first. The guy wants to be loved first, but that's the wrong priority. So when your values shift, you say, you know what, youth group's important to me, so I don't want to go out on dates on Tuesday night because I want to be here. Or, hey, you know what, Sunday mornings, I want to be at church. Why don't you come with me? Because this is important to me. And so you start to lead the way a little bit and you set some standards and you learn to honor God and value that. And you know, and when you mess up, when I touched where I shouldn't have, or I did something I wasn't supposed to, and I would apologize, and we would ask God to forgive us, and we would try to keep that open. Does that make sense? So that we could honor God for the long term. You guys, that's unusual. I'm not normal. That my relationship with Tina lasted, and we're married, and it's been fantastic because it had a good foundation. Okay? I've had other relationships before that. That weren't, okay? And we didn't do this. We didn't make our values known. All right, here's number four. Keep your mind focused and clean. All right, somebody read Philippians 4 for us.
Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about.
You guys, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on thought life because I felt like Tony nailed that pretty good a couple weeks ago, talking about lust and stuff like that. But just real simply, keep your mind focused and clean. So many ways we can screw up that way, but fill your mind with good stuff. And guys, look a girl in the eyes. Talk to her and see inside of her heart, not just her body. Are you with me? Look a girl in the eyes. Because that shows respect, right? So focused and clean. Let them feel valued when you talk to them. All right, that was for you guys. That was just for you. All right, number five. Realize your sexuality isn't a me thing. It's an us thing. All right, what does that mean? It affects more than you. Yeah, totally, Isaac. You guys need to really, really get this. What you do in your mind, what you do with other people, how you treat them, how you look at them, how you view them, how you spend time with them, it's not just about you. It's about how you affect the whole community, right? I think you guys get that. But we're all connected in some ways, and how we treat one another affects things broader than you can think. And so screwing up and looking at stuff on the internet that you shouldn't doesn't just affect you. It affects the people that you're going to have relationship with, right? And what you did with that girl, what you did with that guy that last night that wasn't appropriate is going to carry on with them into their relationships, right? And it's going to affect things and break things and mess things up if we're not careful. So be cautious who you date and what you do when you're with that person, because someone else you know might go out with them or know them or end up getting married to them, or maybe your sister or your brother is going to go out and be with them. Okay, like it's a big community, and those decisions we make privately affect the whole group sometimes. So be careful. And even if you're not dating anybody tonight, this lesson is not about dating. It's about your sexuality, and that topic, that theme, the tools and the ways to win are good for everybody all the time. All right, here's number six. Choose character over intimacy. You guys, when I was your age, I loved to be loved. I liked being cared for by a girl. I liked having a girlfriend. I liked the status of it. I liked the company of it. I liked being near someone that cared about me. And maybe you do too. And there was different parts in my middle school and high school years where I was lonely and wanted just some close friendships and didn't have them. And then had a girlfriend, and that felt good. And then she broke up with me, and that hurt. And then I found someone new later. But here's the thing. Over time, like, I liked being loved. I liked having someone to love and to care for. And I don't think those things are wrong. God made us for relationships. So desiring a companion is not a bad thing. But this, character over intimacy is huge. Just because you want to be close with people doesn't mean that you need to share your body with them. God calls us to be people of character, to be men and women of God, to hold on to your morals and your values as you have relationship, okay? I don't know if that helps or makes sense, but sometimes we crave the love so much that we compromise in the area of intimacy and we become more intimate more quickly. And here's the crazy thing. God wants you to be intimate with him first. That might sound weird or creepy or gross or weird, and I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm talking about filling that need to be loved in your heart. That God wants a girl to allow God to satisfy your desire for love first. God wants a guy's heart to be given to him before it's given to a girl. I don't know if this makes sense to you guys, but sometimes we put the boyfriend or the girlfriend in the center of our heart instead of God, and then our relationships get flipped upside down, and we have the wrong priorities. So keep God at the center of your life and bring him to the center of your relationships so that you can have character over intimacy. Now, later in marriage, by all means, have intimacy, because you've kept your character and now God's design can be fulfilled in that marriage. So here's number seven. Find accountability. Not a new one, but a good one. Here's a good verse in Galatians. Share each other's troubles and problems and so obey our Lord's command. Because God wants us to live in community with each other, and part of that in your life group even. You know, life group's a good place to share, but to go even deeper, another step, maybe life groups, you know, maybe 10, 12 people, get a smaller group of two or three that you can find some accountability with, that could ask you, hey, what have you been looking at? Hey, what have you been doing with so-and-so? Hey, what time did you get in? Did you keep the standard? What are your standards? Do you have standards? What are the things that you want to make known? Hey, did you have the hard conversation with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Yes or no? Okay? What'd you do over the weekend? Do you have a plan? Because if you don't have a plan, then you're going to be in trouble, right? So what's your plan this weekend? Figure out and ask them, give them permission to ask you some tougher questions. Like, hey, what did you look at on your phone this week? Or, hey, how did you treat her parents when you were with her? Or, hey, if God was watching, because he totally is, was he smiling when you guys were out on that date at the movies the other night? Or was he not? Was he frowning? Like, are you with me? Like, checking in, asking him to ask you tough questions. All right, here's number 8. Decide on a plan. And there's a long list for the plan. But for now, somebody asked me once, how far is too far to go with affection in a relationship before you're married? And I got to be honest, my answer is, that's the wrong question. Because what you're asking is, how far can I go up to the line without crossing the line? Like, how close to sin can I get before I get burned? And the problem with the question of how far is too far is, it's about character and heart. And if you don't want to have sex until you're married, because that's what God asks, but doing all these other sexual acts leading up to that is still wrong. So you got to back up the train a bit. And then you got to decide between you and God what some of your boundaries are. I can give you some generic ones, and Larry Boy's up there giving us a generic one, but a good one. This is one I share with couples when I'm helping them through like premarital counseling before they're going to get married, that they need to do this. Hands off the bathing suit zones. Don't kiss or touch or grab or any, like picture a guy and a girl in a bathing suit, and don't go near those areas. Okay? That's just stay away from fire. Okay? Because once you arouse those areas, then it's going to be much harder to keep your boundaries later. Right? You're not going to want to. Okay? You're just going to take over. That's like down the road. Man, I think you need boundaries way ahead of that. And maybe it's just holding hands to start with. Maybe it's, you know, talk and figure it out. Maybe it's just a small kiss on the lips. Maybe it's something lighter, okay? And as your relationship changes and shifts, you keep talking about that. And if you don't feel right about whatever it is you did together, you confess and you repent and you set new ones. But if you don't want to do sex before marriage, you're going to have to fill in the gap because we're not given a lot of tools as far as details from the Bible, right? It's called sexual immorality. And that's really, really, really giant and broad. So that's a tip from him. That's a tip from me. That's just my personal opinion. But decide on a plan. Know the bottom line, okay? Know what values you want to keep. Communicate your position, how you feel about it. Stick to your convictions. Avoid compromising circumstances. And then get out and leave. So you guys check this out. If you know the story of Joseph in the Bible, he ends up being basically pursued sexually by the Pharaoh's wife, okay? He's like a slave, a servant in the household, in charge of the master's things and possessions, a high-ranking person in the master's home, and his wife wants to be with Joseph and basically says, tries to get him to go to bed with her. At the end of that story, do you guys remember, how does Joseph handle that temptation? He runs, and he doesn't just run. She grabbed his robe because she was trying to keep him there. He like sneaks out of it and leaves it in her hand, and he runs out of the house. Okay? She cries foul that he took advantage of her, and he is thrown in prison. Falsely accused, didn't do it, but still is in trouble for it. But he gives us a good example to follow, to run from the temptation that you're facing. So get out. All right, number 9, don't put yourself in sexual situations. All right, here's what 2 Timothy says. But run away from the evil young people like to do. Try hard to live right and to have faith, love, and peace together with those who trust in the Lord from pure hearts. You guys are smart. You know situations that might come up that you should probably avoid. I don't know them all for you. Maybe it's just you alone at night in your room. Maybe it's you with an electronic device. Maybe it's you with your boyfriend or girlfriend in a certain location. Maybe it's just a place that you go or an entertainment choice that you pick or wherever or whatever tempts you, because that's going to change and shift. But be careful and be mindful, so don't go toward those situations. If you know it's Netflix, or if you know it's YouTube, or if you know it's the movie theater, or if you know it's music, if you know it's some romance novel, or whatever, some person that you're with, or some place where there's no supervision, like, avoid those places. Actively choose to avoid where you know some of the danger zones might be. All right, here's number 10. Develop a growing and intimate relationship with God. Because as you keep God at the center, as you keep him the focus, he's going to help you and give you strength, and the Holy Spirit can help give you self-control over those areas in your life. You'll have a natural desire to please him. Okay, that's going to come out of you pursuing God. You have a power to resist temptation because you'll have scripture in your heart and in your mind, and you'll be able to hold on to your values easier. And you'll be more attracted to godliness. You're going to, the more you pursue God, the more you're going to want to be like Jesus. The more you're going to want to have a rich character and be a person of character. You guys, I know it's tough. And tonight was just a broad, here are some tips and here are some helps, okay? We didn't jump into all the biology of it. I know there's a lot more struggles and personal things that you could get into. And maybe you'll have some good discussion, I hope, in your life group time. I want to pray for you, but I want to also leave you with a few tips, okay? On the back table is a purple sheet. If you're in a dating relationship and you'd like one, this is creative date and friendship building ideas. Okay, we just threw together a bunch of ideas. If you need some creative ways to hang out with friends, let me encourage you to do it in groups. You don't always have to do it one-on-one. But here are some tips and ideas if you wanted some creative date ideas. If that's not you, that's no problem. If you want to know, what does the Bible think about all this stuff, sexuality and dating and marriage and relationships and all that, I put together 13 principles, okay, from the Bible that are about dating and love life and stuff like that. If you want, like, some scripture to go along with it, Ken's got the sheets on the back table. Here's a red one for you. When we jump to life group, feel free to grab one of those, or when your life group's over, you can come back in. Just wanted to put tools in your hand, okay? All right, would you pray with me? Hey, God, you made us to be sexual people, and that's good. That's how you made us. That's a good thing. God, would you help us to be able to control the desires that we feel and act out on them appropriately and restrain ourselves when needed? God, we need your help because the culture is not helping us. Would you help us keep in mind the purposes for sexuality and for some tips how we could win over some of those areas of our life and how to honor the guys and girls in our life? God, we need you. We ask for your help. Would you forgive us? God, for those in the room who maybe we struggle with stuff and we've screwed up even today or even this week, God, would you forgive us and restore us and help us to get back on our feet and keep moving forward toward you? God, we lift our relationships up to you. We lift our dating up to you. We lift our hearts to you. We lift our bodies up to you. And God, we ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, I forgot one thing that's on the back of your sheet. As you go to your group, before you go, I want you to seriously think about this. Would you be willing to make a commitment to God about your body? And that's what the purity pledge is, okay? I'm not going to collect them. I'm not even going to look. It's going to be your own thing. But before you sign it, I want you to read it and think about it, okay? And here it is up on the board. The first part of the purity pledge is to God about your body and your sexuality, that it's a gift from him. The second one is to yourself, that you want to love others as you want to be loved and that you want to honor yourself. And the third one is to your future husband or wife and your children, that you would start with the big end in mind. One day you're going to have a family. How do you want to live before that? How do you want to live in the meantime? And then to your family, because you're a representative of your family, and to your friends, to the people that you're sitting with and the people that you know, being a good example to them. A really great verse in 1 Corinthians there in chapter 6, running away from sexual sin. Really great stuff, but hard to do. And at the bottom is your pledge. Because I want to honor God with my body, I make a commitment to God, myself, my future husband or wife, my future children, my family, and my friends to be sexually pure from today, just starting today until I enter a biblical marriage relationship. Maybe you've already messed up. You know what? That's okay. A lot of people in the Bible have too. And a lot of people I know have wrestled with that. Begin your purity today. Begin anew. Start again today. If you mean that, if you want to do that, I ask you to, I'll just pray and then you can sign it if you want to, or maybe you already signed it. But let me just pray for anybody who wants to do that. God, anybody in the room who wants to just offer their body as a act of worship to you and their sexuality and give that to you, I pray that they could just do that on their heart right now and say, God, here I am. I do want to pledge my purity to you. Would you help me stay pure? In Jesus' name, amen.